I'm Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you will hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matter. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Nearly all managers dream of being inspiring leaders who elicit the most from their people. But while they may understand the skills needed to manage their teams, very few know how to put their knowledge into practice. A new book by Len Sandler, Becoming an Extraordinary Manager, published by AMACOM, a division of the AMA, focuses not just on understanding principles of good management, but on taking action. Len Sandler is the president of Sandler Associates and has successfully developed and delivered more than 2,500 seminars for such clients as EMC, General Motors, and the Walt Disney Corporation. Len, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's just jump into discussing this whole concept of differentiating standard manager from extraordinary manager. Everyone has a horror story about a terrible manager they've had in their career. Why aren't there more good managers?
Dave, I think there are at least five reasons why there aren't more good managers. First of all, most occupations require some demonstrated competence, but management really doesn't. Many occupations require certification or the obtaining of a license, where you have to pass a test to demonstrate a certain level of knowledge and proficiency. To become a plumber or an electrician, for example, you've got to be licensed. Frankly, even a dog has to be licensed. And what do you need to become a manager? Nothing. Nothing at all. You just have to be in the right place at the right time. In some cases, you're the last one standing. Maybe everyone else has quit, and you've hung around the longest. So based on your seniority, it's poof, you're a manager. Imagine if, poof, you're a heart surgeon. I don't think things would work out very well that way. Another reason is that most managers are thrown into the fray without any real training or preparation. We give managers training after they've become managers, and before that, they're given little guidance or direction. We invest little, and we get little in return. I remember the way it happened to me, and I think that was probably pretty typical. I can even remember the day of the week and the time of day. We were finishing up on our individual contributor coffee break, just a normal everyday coffee break.
And you called it that. You actually called it the individual contributor coffee break.
Oh, we did indeed. And we spent the whole time complaining about management.
Right.
That's what happens during those coffee breaks.
Of course.
They were fools. They were bureaucrats. They were out of touch. They only cared about themselves. The usual story.
Sure.
I can remember getting called into a vice president's office at 10:15.
Right.
My first thought was, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. What have I done wrong?
Exactly.
And the vice president told me that starting Monday I'd be a manager. I was just floored.
Right.
I said, why me? I felt like I was being punished.
Right.
And he talked to me about how much the organization needed me. You know, it's not the kind of thing you can turn down.
Yeah.
I remember asking him, well, what am I supposed to do? And he gave me the classic response, you'll figure it out.
Oh, God, yeah.
Some people do figure it out, and a whole lot of people, unfortunately, never do. Another reason there aren't more good managers is that everyone is, to some extent, a reflection of who they've modeled themselves after, starting with parents, teachers, older siblings. A lot of people have an obvious impact on children, and those managers we've had have had an obvious impact on us. Some of us say, I'll have to remember how it feels to be treated this way. I'll be sure not to do that when I become a manager. But unfortunately, many say, I guess this is what managers are supposed to do. I guess this is what the company wants. I'm required to be like the person I'm working for. So a generation of mediocre or poor managers gives rise to a new generation of mediocre or poor managers. And the challenge in such circumstances is to stop the cycle and break the stagnant quo, to be different, to be better, with the understanding that you might get in trouble.
Yeah.
If you don't behave the way your boss behaves, your boss may not like that.
It's sort of that downward spiral of bad begets bad.
That's right. And in some cases, bad begets worse, and worse begets even worse.
Exactly. What advice do you have for these new managers or people who are ready for that type of change in the first few days of being a manager?
The biggest thing for you to do in your first few days on the job is to project confidence and optimism. Even if you're not confident, and many people aren't because they're overwhelmed on the first few days, you still have to act confident. If it's a problem department with a poor track record, you don't tell them you've heard good things about them. If it's a good department, talk about how you're looking forward to the challenge and you've heard good things about these folks. Whatever the case is, tell them how much you'll be relying on them. Establish the fact that you'll need their cooperation and their commitment for success. It would be really a good thing if your boss attended at least the first part of the introductory meeting as you introduce yourself and talk a little bit about your background. If anyone is to do any bragging about you, however, it should be your boss and not you. The idea is for you to be humble and talk about the people's accomplishments as opposed to yours. It's very important, too, to schedule one-on-one meetings as quickly as possible to begin to establish a relationship with each person and to tell them you'll be conducting these meetings on a regular basis and whatever they say is just between you and them and find out what they have to say. The big thing is to listen. Most managers don't do a good job of listening.
They go in with perhaps many times a big head of steam, a head full of ideas, and they just try to make their mark very quickly.
That's right. And very often, it's a change that doesn't work. It's a change that the people don't understand, and the manager does want to make a big splash. Best thing to do is just learn the jobs in the organization and listen to what the people have to say and take notes. Notes are very important so that you can go back, similar to what a salesperson does with a customer or a prospect. You can go back to the people and say, as you mentioned to me, I know how important this is to you. You had indicated that you'd be looking for more involvement in. If you can quote people, it really makes people feel good.
Are there predictable stages that a manager goes through in starting a new job?
There are indeed. There are four predictable stages. The first is investigation. The more research you do before actually accepting a job, the better off you'll be. Finding out exactly what the job has been and what the job has not been. Determining what has been accomplished or not accomplished and why. It should involve understanding the political climate, learning about the people you'll be working for and the people you'll be working with. You get off to a terrific start if you can come in and know the people, know their names, and know their accomplishments. It takes a little bit of research, but much more impressive than just calling people, hey, you, the way most managers do. The second stage is initiation. Often this is a period of confusion where you're trying different approaches to getting things done. It's when the people will test you to find out what the underlying issues and political sensitivities are and if you know them. People test you to see what you're made of. They'll say things like, well, the old manager let me. And in truth, it may have never really happened. They want to see what they can get away with and what they can't. And this can be a very uncomfortable period when it appears that people are setting traps for you. After that, there's acceptance when you've adjusted. You've learned about the environment. You've learned about the people you're dealing with. You understand the informal organization, and people regard you as a full-fledged participant. You're familiar with the departmental and company jargon and what you can realistically hope to accomplish. The final stage is the one where you actually earn your money. Only after you've gone through the first three stages can you really be of significant benefit to the organization. This is when you begin to produce results and really earn your money. And how quickly you get to this stage depends on how hard you've worked and how astute you've been in navigating through the first three stages.
People talk about the myth of the manager, or some people are born managers. It sounds to me like with the right level of application, with the right level of effort and honesty, most people can at least take strides to becoming a good manager.
Oh, virtually anyone can do it. That's absolutely right. People aren't born managers. That's a myth.
This sort of links to that anecdote you told us at the beginning, being promoted to management after your individual contributor coffee break. And a lot of new managers are faced with resentful subordinates, people they used to have their individual contributor coffee breaks with, especially those who were, in essence, candidates for that same job. How do you deal with that situation?
The big thing is to not avoid the people who might be resentful, but do the exact opposite and seek them out, especially if they'll be working directly for you. They can affect your performance. Put yourself in their shoes, acknowledge their feelings, and then take the offensive. If it's appropriate, tell them you'll make every effort to use their expertise and experience. Acknowledge that you need their commitment in order for you to succeed. And if you're really good, you can be aware of their achievements and quote them to them. If they were a serious candidate for your job, they must be really good. Ask them if there's anything in particular that you can do for them. And remember what it is they say and try and do it for them. If they're working directly for you, you're in a position to give them the experience and training they may need to enhance their candidacy for your position when you get promoted or a position like it. If you know they're highly regarded by others in management, by all means, tell them that. I think the worst thing you can do is tell them how good you are. The best thing you can do is tell them how good they are. And as a new person, let's face it, you need all the friends you can get. You don't need enemies lurking around waiting to pounce on you.
So there's a lot to be said for humility.
Certainly is, along with empathizing with them.
Exactly.
You may have been passed over for promotion yourself in the past. I think it's appropriate to tell them that and tell them you understand the way they feel.
Our guest today has been Len Sandler. Len is the author of the book Becoming an Extraordinary Manager, published by Amacom Books. Thanks for being with us, Len.
My pleasure.
Now it's time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our five executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website at www.amanet.org. Take it away, Kevin.
I'm here at one of AMA's top 10 seminars, Management Skills for New Managers, taught by veteran faculty instructor Bonnie Laird. And I'm asking participants to tell me what they are learning to become extraordinary managers.
I'm in the aviation industry, corporate aviation. We do staffing for corporate flight departments, Fortune 100, 500 companies. The management role is new to me, but I've gained a lot of insight, value. Part of it was not only with the curriculum and the instructor, but the rest of the class listening to what they've gone through, what they've done, has been very insightful.
I wanted to find ways to deal with my direct reports. There's some issues in some people, and I wanted to find out what I could do to bring them along or to motivate them more. I've actually learned a lot of skills on how to deal with people, the coaching techniques, how to be a leader. I was able to see for myself where I fit in and what I needed to do more.
This was technically something that my supervisor wanted me to do just because there is a lot of workload, and he thinks that the class might help me to organize it a little bit better.
One of AMA's most popular courses is Management Skills for New Managers. I'm Bonnie Laird. I'm one of the instructors who does this course, and it is simply a wonderful course. It's not just for the very, very beginner, but it's for somebody that's been in a job for a while but really hasn't had formal training and needs to nail down the skills. This seminar is highly interactive. So not only am I doing the talking and giving them pointers and we're using material from the notebook, but they are participating along with me. In addition, there are many models in this book. For example, there's a fabulous model for how to delegate. There's another wonderful model for coaching. There's an excellent model for how to manage the performance of your employees. They literally work with this and get a chance to practice it. These may be skills they've never worked with before, and now they've had a chance to do it. So you can see right away that there's the beginning of the transformation.
I think some of the role-playing has proven to be beneficial. It's nice on paper, but when you're able to interject or interact and throw different things out there, which wasn't scripted, kind of makes you think on your feet.
Well, it is interesting to find out how employees can fall into four different categories and then how you're able to actually use different styles to help them progress.
First of all, when I get back into the office, I'm going to do a lot more one-on-ones with my people so that they're aware of what I see and make sure that they see it the same way, or if they don't, get their responses and then go from there so that there's no surprises when the performance review comes out.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.